Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be taking a look at anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And specifically how medication and counseling can work together to, you know, offer more effective treatment. And we're drawing all this information from Davenport Psychology.
It sounds good.
So we'll start by looking at how medication can play a role.
Okay.
And then we'll jump into counseling. And then finally, we'll look at how these two can sort of work together and complement each other.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's start with the medication.
Okay.
So when we talk about medication for anxiety and depression,
right,
it's often helpful to think about it as kind of like bringing balance to your brain chemistry.
Yeah, definitely.
And there are certain chemicals in our brains called neurotransmitters. And these things act as messengers to help regulate your mood and your stress response and your overall emotional state.
They're so important, right?
Yeah.
Like without them, we'd be a mess.
Totally. And sometimes, you know, these messengers, they don't always work as efficiently as they could. So Davenport Psychology talks about antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications.
Yeah.
So let's start with antidepressants.
Okay.
So we often think about antidepressants as, you know, being used for depression.
Right.
But they can also be used to manage anxiety.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize is that antidepressants, like SSRIs and SNRIs, we'll talk about in a sec, they actually affect the brain systems that are involved in both mood regulation and anxiety.
Interesting.
So it's not just that they're helping with depression, but they're also impacting these anxiety responses.
That's like a two for one.
Yeah, kind of.
And I think it's important to understand that, you know, these medications work by increasing the availability of certain neurotransmitters in the brain.
Exactly. And Davenport specifically mentions serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine.
Right. So why are these three so important?
Well, these are like the key players in mood.
Okay.
So serotonin is often associated with feelings of well-being and calm. It also helps regulate things like sleep and appetite.
So if you're not getting enough sleep,
yeah,
that could be a sign.
It could be. Norepinephrine, that's involved in your body's alert system.
Okay. So
your attention, how you respond to stress. And then dopamine is a big one for feelings of pleasure and motivation and reward.
Oh, so that's why, like, getting a like on Instagram.
Maybe.
And in both depression and anxiety, the levels or activity of these neurotransmitters can get disrupted.
Yeah, it's all about finding that balance.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the different types of antidepressants, specifically SSRIs and SNRIs.
Okay.
So what's the difference?
So SSRIs stand for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Okay.
And they basically work by preventing brain cells from quickly reabsorbing serotonin after it's been released.
So it's like they're stopping the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, you can think about it like that. They're keeping more serotonin hanging out in the spaces between the brain cells.
Okay, so it's like more serotonin.
Exactly, more serotonin available to do its job. And then SNRIs, they're serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. And they do a similar thing, but they target both serotonin and norepinephrine.
Okay, so they're kind of like the double whammy.
Yeah, you could say that. So they're increasing the levels of both of those neurotransmitters.
Okay, so they both kind of work in the same way, but SNRIs are just focused on two.
Yeah, they have a broader focus.
Okay. So now let's move on to anti-anxiety medications.
Okay.
These seem like they're more directly aimed at just calming anxiety.
Right. So anti-anxiety medications are used to target those specific symptoms of anxiety disorders.
Okay.
And Davenport mentions a few different types. So first we have benzodiazepines, and these are known for acting really quickly.
Right. So they're more for,
like, an immediate relief.
Exactly. So think like a sudden panic attack or a really overwhelming surge of anxiety.
So you go, you're just feeling super anxious in the moment.
Right.
You might take a benzodiazepine.
You could. And they work by enhancing the effects of a neurotransmitter called GABA,
which has a calming effect on brain activity. So it basically just tells your brain to chill out a little bit.
Okay, so it's like slowing things down.
Yeah, exactly. But it's important to know that they can be habit forming.
Okay.
They're typically used for shorter periods to manage those acute symptoms.
So it's like short-term relief, but not necessarily a long-term solution.
And on their own, typically.
Gotcha. Okay, so short-term.
Yeah.
But not a solo long-term solution. And then Davenport also brings up SSRIs and SNRIs when talking about anti-anxiety medications. So there is some overlap there.
Exactly. And that's because anxiety and depression often involve similar underlying brain chemistry.
Okay.
So the same medications that can help stabilize mood and depression can also be very helpful in managing the ongoing symptoms of various anxiety disorders.
Interesting.
So it's actually quite common for someone with an anxiety disorder to be prescribed an SSRI or an SNRI.
Yeah.
As like a longer term treatment.
Okay. So they're kind of like this.
Or a multi-purpose tool.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last type of anti-anxiety medication that Davenport mentions is beta blockers.
Okay.
And I usually think of beta blockers as being for like heart conditions.
Right. They are typically used for heart conditions, but they can also be helpful for anxiety.
Okay.
And they primarily work by blocking the effects of adrenaline.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that hormone that gets your heart racing when you're stressed.
Right.
So while they don't directly target the psychological feelings of anxiety, they can be very helpful in managing those physical symptoms.
Okay.
Like the rapid heartbeat, the shaking, the sweating muscle tension.
So they're kind of like calming your body down.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got a pretty good understanding now of the medication side of things, how they work, and some of the different types. So now let's shift gears and talk about counseling.
Sounds good.
And the article emphasizes that this approach really addresses the deeper roots of anxiety and depression.
Yeah, and this is a key difference. Because while medication often works on that biological level to kind of reduce symptoms, counseling delves into the psychological and emotional factors that contribute to these conditions. So it helps you understand those inner experiences and develop strategies to cope with them.
So it's like getting to the root of the problem.
Exactly.
And Davenport highlights three main types of counseling.
Okay.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, interpersonal therapy, and mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. So let's start with CBT.
Okay.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, which I think is
a big one.
Yeah. It's really well known. So what does it involve?
So CBT is a very effective and widely used therapy for both anxiety and depression. And the core idea behind it is that our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors are all interconnected.
Okay.
So CBT helps you identify those negative or unhelpful thought patterns and the behaviors that result from them.
So kind of like shining a light on the things that we don't always see.
Yeah, exactly. It's about becoming aware of those mental traps that we can sometimes fall into.
Okay.
And it provides you with practical tools to question those often irrational or negative beliefs and to reframe them in a more balanced and realistic way.
It's kind of like learning how to think differently.
Exactly.
Okay, so CBT is about changing those thoughts and behaviors. The second type that Davenport mentions is interpersonal therapy.
Okay.
Or IPT. And this one seems to focus more on our relationships with others.
Right. So IPT recognizes that our relationships and how we interact with people have a huge impact on our mental well-being.
Yeah, for sure.
And it focuses on improving communication skills.
Yeah.
And addressing any interpersonal issues that might be contributing to those feelings of anxiety or depression.
Yeah, like if you're having problems with your family or your friends, that could be contributing.
It could be. And the article mentions things like difficulties in relationships, feeling isolated, conflicts and roles. And it aims to help you develop more positive and supportive connections, resolve conflicts in a healthy way, and navigate changes in your social roles.
So it's like IPT is about the outside world.
Yeah, kind of, while CBT is more about the inside world.
Okay. And then the third type is mindfulness-based cognitive therapy.
Right, or MBCT.
MBCT. And this one sounds like it brings together a couple of different ideas.
Yeah, it does. It combines the principles of cognitive therapy with the practice of mindfulness meditation.
Oh, wow.
So the main goal is to help you become more aware of your thoughts and feelings as they arise without judging them or getting swept away by them.
Okay.
So it's about kind of taking a step back and observing what's happening in your mind rather than immediately reacting to it.
So it's like you're watching your thoughts go by.
Yeah, exactly. Like clouds.
Interesting. Okay, so this increased awareness can help you recognize the early signs of negative thinking patterns or emotional distress.
Right.
And then you can respond more skillfully.
Exactly. And MBCT has been particularly helpful for people who experience those recurrent episodes of depression or anxiety.
Oh, okay.
Because it helps them break those cycles.
So it's like you're breaking the chain.
Yeah, you're interrupting that automatic response.
Okay. So we've got these two really powerful sets of tools, you know, medication, which addresses the biological aspects, and then counseling, which addresses the psychological and the emotional. But what Davenport really highlights is how these two can work together.
Right, because that's where the real magic happens.
Okay, so how do they complement each other?
Well, Davenport points out a couple of key ways. And the first one is that they tackle both the immediate symptoms and the underlying causes.
Okay.
So medication can often provide that initial relief from really intense symptoms, like you talked about with the anti-anxiety medications for panic attacks or antidepressants for a low mood.
Right.
But then therapy can kind of dig deeper into what's actually causing those symptoms in the first place.
A medication is like bandage.
In a way, yeah. It's like that immediate relief to create a more stable emotional landscape.
Okay.
So then you can actually engage in therapy.
Gotcha.
Because if those symptoms are too overwhelming, it's hard to do that work.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the second way is that by reducing those intense symptoms, it actually makes it easier to participate in therapy.
Exactly. Because you're able to focus better, you're able to participate more actively, and ultimately you gain more from the therapeutic process.
Right. So it's like you're creating a foundation.
Exactly.
And then the third way is that therapy can actually help individuals manage the side effects that sometimes come with medication.
Yes, and this is a really common concern. But therapy can provide valuable coping strategies.
Okay.
For instance, CBT techniques can help you challenge those negative thoughts you might have about side effects.
Okay.
And mindfulness can be helpful for promoting relaxation and managing any discomfort.
Because, like, you're not just taking the medication.
Yeah.
And hoping for the best.
Right. You're also working with a therapist to kind of manage those side effects.
Okay, cool. And then finally, the fourth way they can work together is that counseling provides essential coping skills for when someone wants to eventually come off medication.
Right, because therapy gives you those tools for managing stress, regulating your emotions, addressing negative thinking patterns, which are all super important in the long run.
Yeah, so it's really about building that.
Long term.
Resilience.
Exactly.
And, you know, all of this points to a more holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Which is something that Davenport emphasizes.
Right.
Combining medication and counseling, you're addressing both the biological and the psychological aspects.
And by doing that, you're increasing your chances of significant and lasting improvement in how you feel and your quality of life.
Okay. And I think it's important to note that Davenport does say that medication isn't always necessary.
Right.
And sometimes therapy alone can be effective.
For some people, absolutely.
So really what's important is that you have a treatment plan that's tailored to your individual needs.
Exactly.
And that you work with a healthcare professional to figure out what's best for you.
And a thorough assessment by a psychiatrist or therapist is crucial for that.
But overall, you know, this deep dive into Davenport has really shown us that this combined approach of medication and counseling can offer a really powerful way to navigate these mental health challenges.
It really can.
So to sum it all up, medication can provide that initial relief from those intense feelings, while counseling gives you the tools to understand the root causes and develop long-term coping skills. And by combining these two approaches, we can create a much more comprehensive and well-rounded path towards better mental well-being.
It's about taking care of both your mind and your body.
Exactly. So as you consider all of this, what aspects of your own understanding of anxiety and depression have been challenged or reinforced by this deep dive?
Yeah, what are you thinking about now? What further questions or areas of exploration might be valuable for you?
And if you're feeling like this has resonated with you and you want to learn more, Davenport Psychology specializes in counseling for anxiety and depression. They offer a range of treatment options. And you can find more information on their website. Or you can give them a call at 941-702-2457.
And taking that initial step to reach out for support can be really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to go through these challenges alone.
Yeah.
And taking proactive steps for your mental health is one of the most valuable things you can do.
I agree.